Hello and welcome to IRI Growth Insights, featuring IRI thought leaders, industry partners, and guests. For more than 40 years, IRI has been known for its invaluable data, but these podcasts delve into the insights the data reveal to fuel disruption and market growth for CPG, retail, healthcare, and media industries. I'm your host, Tanya Shuckart, coming to you from IRI's corporate headquarters in Chicago. Hi, welcome to IRI's Growth Insights. I have a fabulous guest joining me today. Vijoy Gopalakrishnan is here from the Media Center of Excellence. Vijoy, welcome.
Thank you, Tanya. It's great to be here.
So, Vijoy, I want you to start by first just telling me a little bit about your role here at IRI, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of follow-up questions to get to know you a little bit better.
Sure, absolutely. So I work at the Media Center of Excellence at IRI. My focus is on product development and delivery. What that means is all the methodologies that go into our Media Center of Excellence products fall under my remit, as well as the execution of the actual reporting, analytical tools, etc. All that falls under my remit as well. We have a fabulous team at IRI that focuses on daily excellence in insights and reporting, and I'm fortunate to work with them to help our clients.
Okay, so you touched on something. You talked about excellence and analytics, and so I know, and I want our audience to know, that not just your professional life and your personal life, this analytic nature applies even so much as in the areas of cocktails. For example, I hear you have a scientific approach to crafting the perfect old fashioned. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh my goodness. I don't know whether I've perfected it, but I am intrigued by old fashioned as a cocktail because it's one of the tough ones to make, right? And I tell you, I mean, I live in Chicagoland. There's so many great pubs and bars, and one of the things I do is to order a old fashioned at each one of those places. As with anything, even with data science, you know, it's all in the ingredients and how you put it together. So I would say with the old fashioned, the trick is, of course, you start with the base, which is always never hurts to use bourbon whiskey, essentially. And you know, the market is chock full of great brands. So you start there. And then the secret sauce, so to speak, is Angostura bitters. You have to put the right amount of bitters. Otherwise, it gets either too sweet or too bitter. Third piece is a dash of orange liqueur. Usually I use Curacao, fresh orange juice, fresh squeezed orange juice, lots of ice, and then you have sugar cubes. You can add a couple of sugar cubes if that helps. And then I know that I add it too. I add cherries, specifically there's a particular brand from Italian cherries that I use. And that's how you make it.
And those cherries are important, right?
They have to be kind of soaked in syrup, and you know, I think they use some process.
Well, so that's actually a really great segue, talking about main ingredients in an old-fashioned. I know that today's topic is going to be around multi-touch attribution, or MTA, and I know that there's some main ingredients in MTA similar to the main ingredients in your cocktail. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, maybe just in an elementary sense?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there are three elements essentially to kind of build a segue. You need data, secret sauce, reporting. Those three elements are crucial to MTA. And one of the things that people kind of think of is data science as this sexy new kid on the block. But if you really dissect it, for 40 years, IRI has been in the business of data. And if you really think about it, if you have great data, perfect data, and great coverage, then you really don't need that much science. So the the sexy thing about the whole thing is actually the data. Mm-hmm. That's one. And the second is the secret sauce, which is the algorithms that you use or the data science, the science part of the data science. And the third part is, of course, you need to bring it all together in a client-friendly sense. And the best way to do that is through excellent reporting. Mm-hmm. If you have to give your clients actionable reporting, and if you don't do that, then any product does not meet its minimum sniff test. And for MTA, the actionable insight is to help your clients maximize their return on ad spend. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. And so, just backing up a little bit, I know that, sometimes we get lumped into this broad measurement optimization universe with different vendors solving problems from a host of customers across varying industries. But I know here at IRI, we stay focused on our core customers, our core CPG retail customers, and the challenges that they face when we talk about measurement. And so, when we talk about the data, the sort of number one ingredient, what does it look like from a quality and coverage perspective?
Absolutely. So it's very important, right? So let's think about it, dissect it a little bit, the data itself. There are essentially, you can think of it as four sets of data that are important in this whole, multi-touch attribution or even, any sales lift or other ad effectiveness tool. One, you need to have relevant data. In the case of MTAs, what we call deterministic data, meaning loyalty card information or what industry calls frequent shopper program data. Mm-hmm. What that does is it tells you at the individual household level how much they're spending on what products, CPG products. That's one. And the more you have of it, the better you are. The second piece of it is I would call the exposure data. When I say exposure, I mean the cookies and devices that actually saw the ad. Because in the world of ad effectiveness, at least on the digital side, when you see an ad or I see an ad, a cookie fires off or a device ID fires off into the ecosystem, ad ecosystem, and then it's captured somewhere on an ad exchange, for example. And what happens then is we are able to connect that cookie or device to the purchase behavior. So essentially for the same household, I know what ads you saw and I know what you purchased because of that, for example. That's the second piece, exposure. The third piece is not all data is perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore you need to have other sets of truth data sets to help you, which is where, for example, IRA has a huge repository of near sensors, point of sale data, which is very important for calibration purposes. The fourth piece is IRA has invested quite a bit on the National Consumer Panel. Mm-hmm. What that does is actually, as you can imagine, or not, data coverage varies even with frequent shopper program data. And so you need another truth data set that covers the holistically all the purchase behavior of a household across different retailers. And the National Consumer Panel brings that in. If you have these four ingredients, that's a fantastic start to build upon using your secret sauce in terms of data science.
Okay. And so I want to talk a little bit about the unique challenges, around CPG where most of the sales are happening in brick and mortar, right? And so...
Right. So you're right, actually. You brought up a very important point, Tanya, which is that most of the sale of CPG happens still in brick and mortar. I know people talk a lot about e-commerce, but the majority of sales happens in brick and mortar. At the end of the day, from a client perspective, a CPG client perspective, or even an agency, for example, or a publisher in some cases, what they want to know is, okay, when I place an ad in front of you, did that create a call to action effectively? Did that make you go purchase that particular product, for example? And clients, especially advertisers, CPG clients, and even retailers, right? They want to know how effective their ad tactic was. By tactic, I mean, when you think about an commercial, it involves many ingredients. The creative itself, one, where you placed, which publisher you placed it in, right? What was the ad type? Was it a video or a display ad? placement. Was that ad placed on as a banner on top or at the bottom, and so on and so forth. When you have all these different tactic elements, what a retailer or a CPG wants to know is which of these tactics was effective in driving that sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we try to do from a MTA perspective is to use our data at the most granular level, at the household level. All these tactics I explained do come to us in the exposure data, and we're able to then parse them, run some complicated models on top to figure out which of these particular tactics had a great impact. And of course, we have to give that in a very actionable and timely manner. By that, I mean during campaign, we're able to feed that back to our clients so they can make in-flight optimization, as we call it. That way, they can actually maximize their return on ad spend. And even after the campaign ends, they can take the learnings and apply to new commercial and other tactics.
Right. So I know we're going to touch a little bit more on in-flight optimization too, but I'm interested in the frequency and the sequence to path to purchase, right? And so really you try to hone in on the touch point that caused the consumer to buy the product, right?
Right.
And so you mentioned some touch points, right? But that could be an ad on a TV or a laptop, a billboard. They could have walked into the store and seen the display, right?
Absolutely. So let's take the cocktail analogy, right?
Yeah.
For a second, just for fun.
Sure.
One of the best ways I've heard this described is, and I can take no credit for it, is you were at a bar last night and you had 5 drinks. Which one caused the headache?
Mm-hmm.
Or the hangover, right? And if you think about it, that is about, the frequency is 5. Like you had 5 drinks.
Yeah.
And there's a sequence in which you drank those cocktails. Maybe you had 3 of the different cocktails over the 5 drinks. And so that becomes important. And that's where frequency and sequence matters. And in the world of consumers, that translates to how many times you saw the ad and
right.
where you saw the ad
right.
and what type of ad you saw. Think of that as a frequency element. The sequence is, in what sequence did you see it?
Right.
We call it, in consumer terms, we call it path to purchase. So you know a purchase happened, let's say on Jan 15th. You track it backward, right? And see, okay, in what order did they see the ad? The sequence in which they saw the ad, which creator, on which publisher, and was that ad type a display ad or a video ad. Once you know the sequence, you dissect it essentially, which is the most effective way to advertise to them. And if you can do these two things right, the frequency and sequence, then you have kind of helped your advertisers, the CPGs and the retailers, mm-hmm. figure out the most efficient and effective way to target consumers.
Yeah. And so in the best way to do that, I assume, is through reporting, right? So what sets of metrics are actionable for CPG to maximize that return on advertising spend that you talked about earlier?
Absolutely. So one of the things that the industry is increasingly moving towards is reporting on a dashboard. So think of Unify, for example,
yep.
right? It's a dashboard. And clients want to be able to slice and dice on the screen, right, real time. And that's very important for them. And what are the metrics that are most important? If you think about it, there are 4 metrics that affect an advertiser. One is the penetration. Penetration meaning whether you bought the product or one or not. Yeah. It's 0 or a 1, right?
Right.
That's the first piece. The second piece is during the campaign, for example, how many times did you walk into the store to buy the product? It's called the number of trips you made.
Mm-hmm.
The third is, once you were in the store and you bought the product, how much of the product did you buy? Right? That's what we call basket size. Those 3 things, if you were to multiply them, you get what we call dollars per household. In other words, during the campaign, holistically, how much did that particular household spend on the advertised product? And those 4 metrics are important. Now, once you get that metric, the dollars per household, for example,
yep.
you then multiply that by the number of households you reach through the ad, and then compare it to the advertising spend. By doing that comparison, you know what the return on ad spend is, which is the other most important metric, right? ROAS, as we call it in the industry. And sometimes it's also referred to as ROI, using a slightly different definition. But that ultimately is what a brand manager or a media planner is interested in.
Right. So the frequency and sequence in the path to purchase allows you to measure and learn effectiveness. Do I have it? Is that right?
Right. Effectiveness and efficiency are two metrics that they use. Think of them as, you know, ability to maximize purchases with the least amount of ad dollars, right? That's what you're trying to do. That's the dream. That's the holy grail for all advertisers.
Right, right. And so CPGs know that they can do this, right? They know this.
Absolutely. In fact, I would say that in the last 10 to 15 years, the industry has increasingly moved from what we call top of the funnel to bottom of the funnel metrics. By that, I mean, top of the funnel used to be, go back 30 years, 40 years on television. As long as you reach someone, right, or they saw the ad, or we call exposure, or in the digital world, they saw the ad on the laptop, or they click through at the top when they saw the ad, that the particular advertisement, right, on your laptop or mobile, that was considered great. That is called top of the funnel metrics. Mm-hmm. But today, the industry is increasingly moved toward bottom of the funnel metrics. They don't think it is as important whether you saw the ad or you clicked through. What is more important now is, did that cause you to go and buy the product, which is the bottom of the funnel metrics? That's where the importance of investing in frequent shopper program data is crucial, like IRA has done, right? Which is go in and work with the retailers, partner with them in order to get that data, because advertisers are increasingly getting sophisticated and see the value of bottom of the funnel metrics.
Right, right. And I know, Vijoy, we've talked about this before too, we've talked about secret sauce, right? And so as it relates to MTA, you've mentioned reliability and validity. And so if you can just give me some examples of what you mean by reliability and validity and what the truth is.
Absolutely. So that's the other piece, right? In the ingredients that we talked about the data, we talked a bit about the reporting. And so the secret sauce or the algorithms is the other piece. And people get tripped up on that quite a bit. They think that when they use fancy words like, machine learning, that's the be all and end all. Mm-hmm. And yet, in 100 years of research, 100 plus years of research, one of the important things that we should never forget is reliability and validity. What does that mean? From a statistical standpoint, that means when you measure something, right, do you get the same result as when you measure it twice? Mm-hmm. For example, right, when you look at your think of the old world when you had an analog clock, right?
Right.
If you walk into two rooms with two different clocks, they gave two different times. But today, with the digitized world, like if you look at your Apple Watch, right? If you're in the same time zone, two Apple Watches will say the same time. Mm-hmm. And that is that means that particular watch is reliable. That process that's used to gauge time is
right.
Reliable. So that's very important, even in the world of measurement. The second piece is validity. Validity means, does the tool measure what it's intended to measure, right? If I'm supposed to measure whether, using whatever secret sauce I have, to measure, let's say, whether there was a sales lift because of this particular ad, am I actually doing that or am I measuring something completely unrelated? That's the second piece. So those two pieces are very important. And we have done considerable research to make sure that what we measure passes the reliability test and the validity test.
Right. So reliability is accuracy, right?
Reliability is, yes, one of the components is accuracy. The other is what I would call stability of results, meaning the results don't change just because, you ran it twice.
Right. So in thinking even more about the secret sauce, we haven't touched really on methodology, right? So what can you talk? I mean, sure. We mentioned ML, but talk to me a little bit about methodology and the methodology framework.
From a client perspective, right? What does MTA do? MTA goes down to what we call leaf level. In other words, predicts at the household level how they will behave when they're shown a particular set of ads. Think of it as the frequency and sequencing for right. a particular household.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have to now model at the household level and then aggregate it up. And that's what helps your client slice and dice the data as they see fit based on right. different tactics. For you to be able to do it, you need the math to keep pace. And that's where machine learning comes in. What that does is essentially you are helping, you're giving data to the machine and training that machine to look at different types of patterns that emerge at the household level from that data. Once you know those different sets of patterns, now you can apply those patterns in a more general way to understand how the population would behave when the ad is shown to a larger, you know, set of audiences.
Right.
So that's important with machine learning. The other piece of it is what we call fractional attribution. By that, recall that we talked about the headache analogy or yeah. hangover analogy.
Right.
Which drink caused the hangover? Well, let's say you had 5 drinks. What that means is I have to figure out whether I have to fractionally attribute the hangover in some fashion, in some weighted fashion across those 5 drinks. Maybe the old-fashioned had 50% effect on the hangover. Maybe the Manhattan had no effect. Maybe the margarita had 20% effect, and so on and so forth. That's the other piece that the that machine learning helps us do, right? It fractionally attributes. And there is a third piece, actually, which is pack to purchase. Now you need to sequence. In what order should you drink the cocktails in order to either minimize the hangover or maximize? I don't know why somebody would maximize hangover, but you want to minimize.
Right.
In the world of advertising, it's the other way around. You want to maximize ad effectiveness or return on ad spend. And so you have to sequence that through the path to purchase calculations. And for all these purposes, machine learning is a wonderful technique to achieve, great results.
Right, right. Well, so, and you've said, right, maximizing the return on ad spend is the purpose of MTA. And, even maybe in its most rudimentary sense, right, when we hear first touch and last touch, that's the definition also of multi-touch, right? You're looking at first touch all the way to last touch.
Right. So that's the other piece. Like the industry has evolved quite a bit. If you, once upon a time, people said like first touch is where you have to, is the be all and end all of attribution. Mm-hmm. Meaning, suppose you saw say you saw 5 ads, and those ads were like, the first time you saw it on a laptop, and next time you saw it on TV, and the third time on billboards,
right.
Fourth time on mobile, and so on. Well, in first touch attribution, they would attribute the entire sale to the first digital ad you saw,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't think that is fair, right? In last touch attribution, they would give it to the last ad that you saw mm-hmm. in whatever mode you saw it, in mobile
right.
maybe. And again, that is not fair either because the other 3 or 4 ads may have had an effect on your purchase behavior. Fractional attribution, what it does, it algorithmically figures out by looking at how you saw the ad across a number of people who saw the ad, which of those touch points had the most effect, and then it weights it accordingly. And that is a much more fairer way of attribution.
We've talked about, we've talked about a lot of things today, but just to kind of bring it full circle, right? We've talked about MTA and the 3 main ingredients. We've talked about the data. We've talked about the secret sauce and methodology. We've talked about reporting. And I know that, for a future podcast, we'd like to talk about unified measurement. And what that looks like, because that's an increasingly hot methodology hot topic. But maybe we can touch just a little bit on the marketing mix and that role in Unify, just to give our audience a teaser of what they can expect in an upcoming podcast.
Absolutely. So let's again look at it from a client perspective, from a brand manager's perspective, but every day, all he thinks about is how to increase penetration of his products, how he can increase purchase behavior for his products, etc. From that angle, couple of tools that they depend on is marketing mix. The other is Lyft or MTA.
Yeah.
With marketing mix, obviously, they get a holistic sense at a strategic level where they should allocate their ad dollars. What percent should go to TV, what percent to digital, at what percent to billboard, how much should they spend on trade promotions like coupons, temporary price reductions, features, displays, and so on. On the more tactical side, when a campaign is running, using MTA or Lyft, they want to know, okay, which are the most effective creatives? How should I move the dollars between creative A to creative B or ad type, etc.? That's very tactical in campaign. Well, they get both results, right? At annual level or on every 6 months, they get the mixed results. And then on a campaign level, they get MTA results. What they want to understand is what the demand of the marketplace is, can you align the results from mixed and Lyft so they tell the same story? They understand totally that, mix is at the strategic level and MTA is a tactical level. What they want is directionally, are they telling the same story? And that is quite a valid, demand from the marketplace.
Right, right. Well, I know that we really want to expand on this this conversation in another podcast. I know that there's been a lot of research around this. The analysts are writing about it. Customers are talking about it. So I think unified measurement is going to be a really interesting conversation to have with our marketers and our audience. And, I can also let you know that I'll be the first in line to try your old fashioned.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. I think you should. I'm game for anybody providing even better recipes because I think all. So absolutely.
Okay, that sounds great. So thank you once again, Vijoy Master, analytics, both professionally and in the world of mixing cocktails. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much, Tania. It was a pleasure talking.
Thank you for listening. Please become a subscriber and let us know what you want to learn more about. We'll serve it up in a future IRI Growth Insights episode. Look for us wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to review IRI Growth Insights. Also, visit us on the web at iriworldwide.com and connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.